Fans, Father's Day is coming up, of course, a week from tomorrow. And Pave Fine Jewelry, Michael Enlick, is the finest jewelry designer in the Bay Area, in the country. I think so much of him. I've known him for many, many, many years, and I can tell you everything that we've ever gotten from Pave is a family keepsake forever. P-A-V-E, PaveFineJewelry.com. Check them out on the web. You can make appointments and talk with Michael, and they can do designs with you. But Father's Day is coming up, and there's so many nice things you could get for Dad. I know I've gotten a couple of nice rings over the years from Michael Enlick at Pave Fine Jewelry. Joining us from San Diego, and you can follow him at 619 Sports on Twitter. He's the host of Make the Padres Great Again podcast. We've had him on for many years, and it's always great to just catch up with him, talk some ball with him. And that is Craig Elston. Craig, how are you?
Oh, it is so great to talk to you, Marty. We are coming up on our 20-year anniversary of when I met you on a sun-dappled spring morning down in Scottsdale, Arizona, outside of a Giants game. I remember interviewing Eric Davis that day and meeting you with your big sun-brimmed cap. And it's been almost 20 years that we've had the chance to chat baseball here and there, and it's always a pleasure.
Boy, wow, very good. I knew it was a long time. I didn't realize 20. Very good, very good. Always a pleasure to catch up with you and all the different things you're doing. You're the host of Make the Padres Great Again podcast. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, myself and my partner, John Gennaro, have been doing that pod since, late 2015, I believe, because I certainly remember that when we had that podcast title, it was considered to be ironic. Make the Padres Great Again. We use no red hat promotion. But
no red hat, right? No red hat.
Yeah, no red hat at all. And it's still somewhat ironic in that the Padres haven't been any version of great for many years. But we're hoping to have been so in this now lost 2020, or soon to be lost 2020, perhaps. Still out here in San Diego, you know, the old saying back in the late 90s, keep the faith, still applies.
Boy, I'll tell you, well, we could be coming up to a shortened season, honestly, and who knows how many games it's going to be. Rob Manfred, who is employed by the owners, he's not an independent commissioner. He is the mouthpiece for the owners. Don't make any mistake about it. Says there will be a season because they want to get to that pot of gold, being the playoff money. But in a shortened season, boy, the Padres become very interesting. Especially, you're going to have eight teams in the playoffs. All of a sudden, you know, you could end up, I was going to say, boy, the fans will show up in droves, but nobody's going to show up. There won't be anybody there, but it could be an interesting season for the Padres.
Well, I describe the whole thing as a grab bag, yeah? I mean, I'd say it's an exciting season for the Giants. It's an exciting season for every club, because I'd like to remind every baseball listener and fan that might not remember that at the 50-game mark last year, the World Series champion Washington Nationals were 18-32. So, you know, 50 games is not how we decide baseball. That's not how it works. So what we're going to have is more of a tournament than it is really a season. And as such, to me, literally everybody's in it. For 50 games, young pitchers can go off. For 50 games, a guy who's going to end the year with a 5.50 ERA might have that ERA at 2.5. And for 50 games, a guy can be red hot or ice cold. So it's a giant equalizer. I think I'd be most terrified were I the Dodgers, the Yankees, the teams that think that for sure they're going to contend this year. Because, I mean, even last year for the Padres at 50 games, they were over 500 and certainly would have been a playoff team under this year's proposed scenario. So if this all goes down, I mean, I agree the Padres are dangerous, but I'd just widen that and say everybody's dangerous.
Well, what is the baseball mood down in San Diego? And we had J.P. Hornstra on with us today and chatting with us about a little bit of the L.A. mood, so to speak. What's it like in San Diego around baseball?
You know, I got to say, Marty, it's despair. I mean, this was supposed to be the year. This is the year that Padres fans have been plotting for since 2016. since the decision, the smart decision was made to abandon ship on the wrong direction of the Matt Kemp 2015 Padres. And when Kemp was traded, when everything was gutted, when everything was moved around, at that time, you know, and when James Shields was traded for a young 17-year-old shortstop out of the White Sox system named Fernando Tatis Jr., at that time, people were saying, it's 2020. That's going to be the year that the Padres are going to have a chance to break out. It was the year they finally changed their uniforms back to the brown that fans had been clamoring for almost two decades. And everything had pointed toward, hey, 2020 and the 2020s, these are the Padres' years. This is the breakout. This is a year of, you know, affordable talent. And so far, of all the clubs in the NL West, I mean, people look at the Dodgers and not having Mookie Betts for his 1 year of service. Well, they could just open up the bank and, and re-sign him. But, you know, free seasons, essentially, of guys like Fernando Tatis Jr., those are harder to come by. So I think the Padres are really hurting to lose this year and are one of the teams that most benefit if they are to regain any form of a season.
Wow, interesting. All right, Craig Elston with us. That segues us right into the draft for you. Anyone who may help this year, and I realize, you know, that these players haven't had college seasons or high school seasons, but they are going to be signed at some point, and we've got a couple of months, and who knows? You want to see what you got. Anyone? Let's go through the draft a little bit and see if there's anybody that may help.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's amazing in that you have to tip your cap, whether you like him or hate him, you have to give A.J. Preller credit for being somebody who believes in himself and sticks to his guns. Because going into this season, especially from the outside, you would have to say that if he's not the GM on the hottest seat with the shortest leash, then he's got to be in on the podium, right? Or at least in the top five. So with that knowledge and understanding that maybe you'd want to, in a panicky situation, grab that fifth-year college senior that might be able to transition right away, at least onto that extended big league club. No, he was the first GM this year to draft a high school player in the first round, a rangy left-handed swinging kid that, you know, may turn out to be terrific, maybe has the highest upside of the players drafted at the top, but probably will take 4 or 5 years to get to the big leagues. And that's A.J. Preller. He always is high risk, high reward. I think another great example of that is the draft eligible sophomore out of Georgia, Cole Wilcox, that was drafted on the second day by the Padres. He's a Scott Boras client. He's expected to be an extremely hard sign. And the reason is because if he goes back to school, a lot of people think he would be, you know, the 1-1 player, the number one pick in the draft after his junior year. He's 6'5". He's added muscle. His fastball touches 100. So this is a kid that people were shying away from because they said, well, impossible, can't sign him. AJ just goes ahead, drafts him. he's got a little bit, you know what, Marty, it's cross-sport, but he's got a little bit of Al Davis in him. In terms of what actually made Al Davis great back in the old days, he would just take a swing on the talent and say, to hell with it, I'm going for the upside. And that's A.J. Preller. And you know, even if all these players wind up succeeding for the next GM, he's going to still play it like he plays it.
Mm. Robert Hassel III was a number 8 pick by the Padres, a high school kid out of Independence, Tennessee, left-handed hitting center fielder. I saw a video of him, and I know how excited he was to be drafted. But, boy, he's a kid. Looks like he's about 16.
Oh, my gosh, I know. And, I mean, if you look at his swing, he's got a little Will Clark in him. I mean, it's a beautiful swing. But I just got done yesterday morning reading the story of the four aces up in Oakland, you know, highlighted by Todd Van Poppel and Kirk Dressendorfer, you know, that were all supposed to make it and didn't make it. So it's always, always going to be, you know, put that name in the back of your mind and see if it pops up 2-3 years later. But I will say this, too. It seems like the players that Preller has been drafting with the opportunity to draft toward the top, and look to Mackenzie Gore, look to C.J. Abrams, who's rocketing through the system when there was a system before the shutdown. He seems to be looking, you know, he goes for those high upside players, and so far, very, very early on, it seems like he's been getting a chance to maybe hit some extra base hits or home runs with these picks. So I do trust A.J. Preller's acumen as a procurer of amateur talent, I think, more than any other aspect, certainly more than his big league team building. That's where he's exciting.
The Giants took a kid from San Diego State, Casey Schmidt, third baseman pitcher, an interesting story as their second pick. Do you know anything about him?
Yeah, Friday night starter, a little bit of a hitter as well, and a kid who really came through the system and excelled. And, a lot of credit to Coach Martinez out there, Coach Oliveira, and the rest of the Aztec staff, Casey Schmidt, a kid who came up like a rocket. I didn't get a chance to see him pitch in person this year, but did watch a couple of those starts the way you do these days, broken down into highlights in your Twitter feed. And he's pretty electric. I think it's a nice pick.
Boy, interesting. The Giants have Kapler as the manager, and they've got a whole ton of new coaches and a whole new way of approaching baseball. And in a way, a shorter season maybe gives the Giants a little bit of an advantage that they're not going to be put under the gun for 162. You can kind of see how this thing runs in a shorter term. Padres a little bit in that situation, too, with the three-headed manager.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think Padres fans were the most anxious to discover was what we had in Jace Tingler, as the first-time big league skipper. And again, I go back to A.J. Preller as being someone who will either live or die on the hill of his self-confidence. Jace Tingler was somebody that he brought into the Rangers organization back in, I believe, 2013. They worked together in the low minors. And he goes from managing a Dominican Winter League ball team to the big leagues. So, I mean, you're right. He's surrounded by some good support staff. But Tingler, this is supposed to be his maiden voyage, and we're supposed to be making premature judgments on him in the first week of June in normal time. But we are not in normal time anymore. And, I'll say it again what I said earlier. I mean, Gabe Kapler should be singing hallelujah if they have a 50-game season, because everybody's in it, and 26 and 24 or 27 and 23 might get you in the playoffs, and we already know that baseball playoffs are a crapshoot to begin with. So this could create the most random champion in the history of Major League Baseball. And there's no reason the wheel can't stop literally anywhere in MLB that the Blue Jays could win it all. I mean, maybe not the Orioles, but short of that, anyone else could win the title this year, and that includes the Giants. And if they do, none of us should say, oh, that was an incredible team. I mean, because the true test of baseball is making it through the summer. And this year that won't be the case. It'll just be who gets hot and who sustains for 2 months.
Well, maybe that'll be the hook. Maybe that's what'll keep us really interested throughout this 2 months of no fans and coaches wearing masks and social distancing and everything else that's going to come about. Who knows what else with COVID-19. But maybe that's the hook, that this will be one of those, who knows, you could be... like you say, you could be one of those teams, the Pirates. Somebody gets off to a hot start, and all of a sudden, you've got interest. You've got interest. So, hey, very good. That's a good insight. We haven't had that on the show yet, that perspective, that maybe that's the hook of what will keep people interested in 2020, just the prospect that anything can happen. All right. I can work with that. Hey, Craig, thank you so much, as always. And, boy, you always give a good perspective on San Diego sports. And we'll see what happens and catch up with you once this thing gets settled and we see where the division is and how we're playing. And we'll have you on regularly. We look forward to your reports.
I love it, Marty. It's always great to chat with you. And if and when we play the grand old game again, I'll talk with you again.
As I said, we'll know something by next Saturday. I say that every weekend. All right, take care. Thanks, Craig. That is Craig Elston. Boy, always a pleasure to talk sports with him. More coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.